Morning, honorable members. Morning, department. Morning, everybody which is here. We're about to start. What I would suggest before I make my introduction, let me introduce myself. My name is Pat Sibande. I'm originally from Mpumalanga province. I'm the chairperson of this committee. Then I'll give it to the members to introduce themselves, followed by the staff. Then over to you, other side.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Herman Groenewald, representing the Northwest Province and a member of this committee.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Christina Temba, member of the committee representing.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Pilot Gwebo, committee secretary.
Morning, everyone. I'm Tepo Makanye. I'm a researcher for the committee.
Over to you.
Morning, chairperson. Morning, committee members. My name is Mpezo Kokwazube. I am the acting COO at the Department of Public Works. I've been seconded from the Council of the Built Environment. If you allow me, chairperson, if I can just apologize to DG, she has just stepped out. She had just gone to the bathroom. But I'm sure she'll join us just shortly.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, committee members. My name is Sumo Sehomi, the acting CFO of Public Works.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members. My name is Stanley Anderson. I'm the DDG for the Expanded Public Works Program.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Judge Mudumela from the Minister's Office.
Good morning, Chair and members. I'm Samson Mudumela from the Minister's Office.
Good morning, Chair and members. Lwazi Mahla, Minister's Office.
Secretary Likosi, over to you at the back. May you please introduce yourself.
Good morning, honourable members. I'm Secretary Dugan from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like maybe to, on the behalf of the committee, I'll start by apologizing for this inconvenience of venues. I think here in Parliament we are having a lot of committees. I really don't know what had happened, because you saw what happened. I won't go back to it. Then secondly, on the behalf of the members, today we started with a very hectic day. People are debating, and also we are sharing members. We are the smallest house, which is NCOP, but we are sharing members. Maybe we might be joined by other members as time goes on. And I'd like to welcome you from the Public Works. It's not usually, but we are so happy, because we are having people also from the Minister's Office. This sometimes never happened. And we're so happy, because normally we indicated time and again that if you send us junior officials, we send you back. I won't negotiate with that one. But with this one, with a new minister, with a new broom, I think we are so happy. You must convey our maybe appreciation to the minister that we are so happy that at least we saw some of the people from his office. That means that some of the things which are going to be taken on board, they will reach him. Without wasting any time, there is a colleague which we have just joined us now. I'll request him. I know you might know him. He must also introduce himself. Shwaib.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, everyone. Shoaib Dineson, committee section.
Thank you very much. I think everybody have introduced himself or herself, except one or two. May you please introduce yourself before we start.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Mandy Safa, I'm from the Acting Ministry of Public Works.
Morning, my name is Aaron Mazin from Public Works.
Okay, let us go back to our agenda of the day today. Our agenda is the briefing by the Department of Public Works on their strategic plan on budget policy 2012. I'll leave the other thing of the consideration of the adoption of the minutes will come later. But let me give it over to the department to start to do their briefing.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, for this opportunity here at the department to brief the NCOP on the strategic plan. We did the same presentation to the portfolio committee in March this year. And we feel honored to be here. I'm assuming, Chairperson, that everybody has the presentation. The Department Strategic Plan, as with probably other national departments' strategic plans, is informed by national priorities drawn from the medium-term strategic framework and the 10 policy priorities adopted by government in 2009. It's important, Chairperson and honorable members, to emphasize that the Department of Public Works is the single biggest player in the property and construction sector, and is also the infrastructure developer of the state, which enables better to ensure that we contribute towards the same level of poverty, unemployment, and inequality across the country. As we are seated here, Chairperson, we would like to share with the honorable members that as part of this beginning this year, the department has developed a turnaround strategy to address all the challenges facing the Department of Public Works, particularly in relation to poor performance and the negative audit outcomes. Honorable members, our minister is committed to ensure that during the implementation of the strategic plan, we are able to stabilize the department, work towards a clean audit outcome, and finalize the state removable asset register. The honorable member would remember that, or would recall that, we are the custodian of all the state removable assets. Improving mismanagement, improving finance and supply chain management, and addressing the challenges that are facing the department in relation to the trading entity, and to also ensure that we improve our human capital capabilities. We want to declare a front chapter that in the implementation of the strategic plan, in terms of our lease management, or our lease portfolio, we are working with National Treasury to audit and review all the irregularities in order for us to be able to identify irregularities and also enhance and build new systems and processes around risk management. But broadly, be able to build capacity in the department for a broader property management function. Honorable members, an IMC has been established by the minister. Members of cabinet who have committed themselves to support our minister in the implementation of this turnaround strategy. As a custodian of immovable assets, the department is committed to refurbish vacant underutilized properties through its inner city regeneration program and to promote property development and investment in rural and under-resourced areas. We are also mindful of the fact that we are implementing phase two of the EWP with the commitment to contribute more than 4.5 million work opportunities over a 5-year period. What is important to mention around the EPWP, honorable members, is the importance of ensuring that the EPWP is scaled further by identifying other opportunities or sectors where it can be scaled. We will continue to ensure that we implement the National Youth Service. We've been doing very well with regard to that program, but we'll also use the government building program to ensure that we have scaled the National Youth Service program. We have entities that report to the department, and one of them is the Council for Built Environment, and in that regard, honorable members, we're working with the CBE to ensure that the skills pipeline strategy developed by the PWP, by the CBE, is implemented. As a custodian of immovable, of the state immovable assets, we also commit to develop a green building framework to ensure a comprehensive building. We get transparent and we pay proper attention to the devolution of client maintenance, property rates, and municipal service budget as part of managing our accommodation charges. We are also mindful of the fact that the department needs to enhance its IT infrastructure in a manner that supports the planning and delivery processes of infrastructure delivery. Now, Chairperson, I've just gone through what the minister agreed to share with you. I'm going now to the strategic context. This will basically touch on the mandate of the Department of Public Works, which is really the custodianship and management of the significant portfolio of national government in the United. As you know, honorable members, we provide accommodation. We render expert built environment services to the department at national level only. And we are involved with those clients in the planning, acquisition, management, and disposal of those of immovable assets which are under our custodianship. We are also responsible for the coordination and providing strategic leadership in the provision of the EPWP. In terms of the outcome performance approach which government is expecting from all government departments to follow, we have identified three outcomes that are in the Minister's Performance Agreement with the President. And those three outcomes, honorable members, are key in the in the delivery of the programs of the department. The three outcomes are decent employment through inclusive economic growth, sustainable human settlement and improved quality of household life, and efficient, effective, and development-oriented public service, and an empowered, fair, and inclusive citizenship. In trying to operationalize these outcomes, Chairperson and Honorable Members, the Department, in relation to Outcome 4, has committed to reduce youth unemployment, fund the EPWP, not only in the sectors in which it is operating, but in other sectors as well, and also ensure that the building program that Public Works is implementing on behalf of its clients does benefit the EPWP. The next outcome, release of land and property. We are operationalizing the next outcome, Chairperson, through the release of land and property for developmental purposes, and we are working with the Department of Human Settlement mainly, but we are also supporting land reform and restitution. On the next outcome, Chairperson, the way it is operationalized by the Department. The Department is paying attention that the immovable state assets are utilized in a manner that supports service delivery and are able to make sure that there is social and economic benefit and improve service delivery. There are two additional outcomes that are in the strategic plan which are not in the Minister's performance agreement. And those other two outcomes that the Department is paying attention to are skilled and capable workforce, support an inclusive growth path, and outcome number 6, which is create efficient, competitive, and responsive infrastructure network. I might as well share with honorable members that Public Works is part of the Infrastructure Development Cluster, which is a new cluster, and that cluster assists Public Works to generate more work opportunities for the EPWP. Earlier on, I alluded to the medium-term strategic framework and the key policy priorities that the Department has identified, which are aligned to that medium-term strategic framework, are as follows. Stabilize the Department, clean corporate governance, and review the effectiveness of operations of the Department. We also commit to strengthen the State Immovable Asset Register, and we have brought in Ernst & Young to assist us to build a robust but legitimate immovable asset register where we will know at least within a year's time where the state assets are located and in what conditions they are in. We've also identified the auditing of leases and the review of the lease management system. And as I alluded to before, in the Minister's forward, address the audit challenges of the Department. We also have identified the need to support or to ensure continuous support to the emerging contractor sector in line with the TPD policy of government and promotion of labor intensive and green practices when it comes to the renewable assets. We are also aware that we need to improve our service delivery to our clients that's receiving also primary attention in the current MTS period. We would also, because we are custodians of billions of rents of infrastructure, committed honorable members to contribute towards eradication of unemployment, poverty, and inequality through the EPWP and other job creation initiatives. We are also mindful of the need to improve our supply chain management, address the challenges of the property management trading entity, and to ensure proper management of client accommodation charges. The state land for that act, and we will do that working with rural development. We will be tabling, honorable members, the expropriation bill in this current fiscal year, the CBE bill, the AgriMont, South Africa bill. We also want to improve on the manner in which we manage our facilities management function, and we're coming up with a policy and strategy. In terms of human capital development, we're focusing on the young professionals program, internship, learnership, and the bursary scheme to deserving young people in the country. Public Works has workshops. We are in the process of devising those workshops to absorb graduates who will work under the mentorship of 35 participants. The Minister of Higher Education, honorable members, is also paying attention to that revival of workshops, as he is keen to ensure that our department works very close with the Department of Higher Education to ensure that the accidents are absorbed in the practice. Chaperton, we have four public entities that report to Public Works. And the four entities are the Construction Industry Development Board, which is really responsible for the regulation of the construction industry, but their main priorities for this current MTF are growth and contractor development, construction industry performance, procurement and delivery management, and construction risk register services. The Council for Built Environment, honorable members, to which the Council for the Built Environment Bill I alluded to before, is among other things responsible for the development of policy frameworks aimed at safeguarding public interest and the implementation of the skills pipeline transition. AgriMont South Africa is an entity that responds to Public Works and is responsible for issuing fitness of people for non-standardized construction technology, certificate fitness of people certificate for non-standardized construction technology. The Independent Trust, which is the fourth entity that reports Public Works, is an implementing agent of government and has been involved and will continue to be involved in community mobilization and development, provide support to institutions such as NPOs, serve as program management agency on government infrastructure projects. The EPWP, the IDT was mandated or has been mandated by government to focus on the delivery of mainly social infrastructure in the country. That is why Public Works works with the IDT, honorable members, to deliver schools on behalf of the Department of Education, and has been doing that for the past few years. And we are committed to ensure that we will support the current delivery, school delivery program with the Department of Education. We are working on a, we have established a joint team with that department to ensure that we assist the Department of Education to accelerate school rehabilitation, school building across the country. Chaperton and honorable members, because we are presenting the strategic plan of the department, I'm going to talk to the program where this budget is allocated. Public Works has five programs. Program one, administration. Program two, removable asset management. Program three, expanded public works program. Program four, property and construction, policy, regulation, and program. The five, auxiliary and associated facilities. The last program, chapter two, if I were to just quickly talk to it. This is where, for example, the preparation for the funeral of the late Mr. Elon Shigata is located, and there are the late Minister Tadayashi, we believe that such services, but it also deals with the inauguration of the President and other associated services. Program 1, Chapter 6, and Honorable Members of the Ministry and the Office of the Director General, where the Chief Operating Officer is located, Strategic Management Unit, IGR and Parliamentary Services, Monitoring and Evaluation, and Internal Auditing and Application Services. There's also Finance and Supply Chain, and Corporate Services. Corporate Services is broad-based in our department, and it has the following Chief Directorates: Human Resources, Information Services, International Relations, Communication and Marketing, Legal Services, Security Services, Gender and Disability. Program 1, Honorable Members, the broad strategic initiatives undertaken under Program 1 include the development of the strategic plan of the department and the annual performance plan, which we are presenting to you today, risk management, IGR, intergovernmental relations, management of performance and corporate governance of public works and entities, monitoring and evaluation, auditing, and the fraud prevention strategy. Under finance, honorable members, the forecast, which is not exclusive because the detail is in the annual performance plan of the various programs. Our focus is mainly, but not exclusively, on the debtors' age analysis, compliance, ensuring that as a department we comply to GAAP, to normalize the situation in our property management and trading entity, compilation of accurate financial statements for DPW, ensuring that we comply to supply chain management prescripts and management of movable assets. The movable assets that we're managing under that program, or under finance and supply chain, they relate to not only movable assets within the department, but they also extend to movable assets in the prestige portfolio, which would include houses of MP and the executive. Program two is the immovable asset management. It's called immovable asset management, and this is where the biggest chunk of our budget is spent. Honorable members, the purpose of the program is to provide and manage government immovable property portfolio in support of government social, economic, functional, and political objectives. The expected outcomes of that program, Chapter 6, are aligned to the outcomes that the department was committed to deliver on. Program 2 has various sub-programs. The first one, Strategic Asset Investment Analysis, which is responsible for planning for life cycle in movable asset management based on credible asset data and portfolio, and property analysis to ensure efficient economy and effectiveness in the use of DPW's movable asset portfolio. The second sub-program under Program 2 is Project and Professional Services, which is responsible for the management of construction projects consisting of capital and refurbishment projects, creation of jobs within the construction and infrastructure service industry, creation of training opportunities for built environment graduates. If I were to share with honorable members that there's quite about four or five national government departments that were busy planning to build for them permanent accommodation for beginning this current fiscal year. It will be the Department of Higher Education, South Africa, Department of Correctional Services, and others. We also have a sub-program, under program two, which is called the Inner City Regeneration Program. This program, honorable members, is a program that started years ago following the approval by cabinet. The instruction from cabinet was all government departments must stay within the city of Pretoria. I'm raising this, honorable chair and honorable members, because at times we face challenges of government departments that do not want to reside in the inner city of Pretoria. It's a government decision, it's a cabinet decision. If you want to move out of the CBD of Pretoria, you would be required that the public works table before cabinet an alternative to that. It's important because it was a policy decision taken at that level to ensure that we contribute as a department to the regeneration of cities, which at the time was linked to the regeneration framework of government. The next program, honorable members, is operations management. Operation management entails, or under operations management, we have 11 regional offices. Two are in the Eastern Cape, and the others in the rest of the province. The region are the execution arm of our department. They are mainly the spenders of the budget that will be presented later in this presentation. And therefore, they are responsible for the execution of property and facilities management projects, and also ensuring that at the regional level, we facilitate a secure working environment for our clients, mainly through acquisition, maintenance, and ensuring optimal utilization and disposal of the municipal assets. We also have another sub-program under Program 2, which is called Key Account Management and Prestige. Key Account Management, honorable members, is the function in the department that is the face of the department, as it has to manage the relations between the Department of Public Works and our customer base, which is mainly national department and our prestige clients. As alluded to before, the prestige clients will be our MPs, members of cabinet, parliament, etc. Under that function, we are responsible to ensure that we sign service level agreements with our clients and also assist the client department to compile their user asset management plan, which really details accommodation needs or office accommodation needs. We also, because we implement capital programs on behalf of the clients, we also ensure that on an annual basis we sign the capital works implementation program, and also to ensure that improved service delivery, we provide monthly key account management reports to the cabinet. Key priorities under asset investment management. These are the deliverables or the strategic initiatives also under this program. To ensure a complete and accurate immovable asset register, to ensure that there is confirmation of ownership of land titles under public works custodianship. As I alluded to before, these land titles I used for land reform and restitution, others for low-income housing. The Minister's performance agreement has committed the Department to ensure that we deliver land parcels for the construction of low-income housing. We are also responsible for the development of the custodian asset management plan and the implementation program. I'm appreciating that capital implementation. We are also busy with the program to make sure that government buildings are accessible to disabled people, and we have identified 100 buildings for that. We also rehabilitating hundreds of properties as part of our rehabilitation program. These will be buildings that will be, some of them are functional, some of them are not functional, or they are semi-occupied, and others are not occupied. So we rehabilitate those buildings to ensure that we have accommodation for our clients. Under projects and professional services, we've identified the number of projects that we're going to be implementing this fiscal year, and also ensure that we create learning and training opportunities for graduates in the built environment through our young professionals program, I alluded before. We also have to ensure that a particular percentage of our capital budget is devoted to the development of emerging contractors, women-owned enterprises, and the youth in terms of supporting black economy empowerment programs. Chapter 10, and honorable members, in terms of inequity regeneration, we're still working with the city of Tswane to ensure that the precinct plans are being implemented. When it comes to operations management, we are compelled to ensure that the removable assets that we are responsible for comply with the OSHA Act, and also that we have facilitated management contract for our system of assets. When it comes to prestige, we have a number of prestige projects. Parliament, as I alluded to before, is one of those projects that fall under the prestige program, but also we're paying attention in the NFMC to ensure that our prestige projects are implemented in a cost and effective way. Program 3, the expanded public works program. The purpose of the program is to ensure the creation of work opportunities and the provision of training for unskilled, marginalized, and unemployed people in South Africa by coordinating the implementation of the program. The EPWP is mainly contributing to the country, or rather, is one of the main contributors to the outcome on decent employment through inclusive economic growth, which is outcome number 4. We are on target, honorable members, to deliver not only 4.5 million job opportunities in 5 years, but to exceed that. And to be able to do that, we will, and we have committed to ensure that we upscale the National Youth Service. We are also ensuring that more municipalities are able to implement EPWP projects so that we can meet the EPWP target. to date, we have 216 municipalities to report on the PWP challenge. We're working very close chapter 10 with the Department of Transport and their rural road program has been one of the main remains one of the main programs EPWP is benefiting from, and the target from that program will be to create 130,000 work opportunities. Program for property construction. The purpose of the program is to promote growth and transformation in the construction and property industry, to promote uniformity and best practice in the construction and immovable asset management in the public sector. And that program is aligned program to outcome 5. This is one of the outcomes that the department is contributing to. The Department of Public Works, honorable members, is responsible for the transformation and regulation of both the construction and property industry. That transformation program and regulation program of those sectors is falling under this program. But it's also a program that is responsible for ensuring that the legislative program, which I've read to you before, is served before Parliament during this current year. If you recall, I referred to the CBE bill, to the AgriMore South Africa bill, and expropriation bill that must get before Parliament. The greening of public buildings is also the responsibility of that falls under program 4. And the implementation of the government-wide immovable asset management act and ensuring that the compliance with that act also falls under this program. Chapter 10 at this juncture, I'm just going to hand over to the acting CFO to take us through the budget. What I can do is just to share that upfront that the budget for the year 2012 and 2013 that has been given to the department by Treasury is almost 8 billion. And like I said before, the bulk of that amount, about 5 billion plus, is spent under program. And if you look at slide number 30, honorable members, the breakdown and allocation for administration, the program 1 is 893 million this year, immovable asset management and all its sub programs, which is program 2, 5 billion allocation. The EPWP, which is program 3, the allocation is 1.6. And property and construction industry program, which is program 4, allocated 37 million. And the auxiliary and associated services, 39 million, which is program 5.
Next slide, we look at the MTA's allocation for economic classification. If we look at the compensation employee, in current years with 1.2 billion, the next year is 1.3 billion, and when it comes to goods and services, this year will be 596 million. And then next year will be 621 million. The office accommodation, and this is one for the amount of
Sorry. Before you leave.
The office accommodation will be 469 million, and the next year will be 504 million. The transfer subsidy, this one including those EPWP transfer funding and also the property rates, will be 4 billion for this year, and for next year will be 4.5 billion. In terms of building and other fixed structures, infrastructure, this year is 1.4 billion, and next year will be 1.7. Machinery and equipment is 91 million, and then next year will be 101 million. Software and other tangible assets is 1.6 million this year, and then next year is 5.9 million. Then if we go down to the earmark funding, when it comes to the EPWP NASDAQ sector, when it comes to this year is 279 million, and next year is 354 million. And CIDB funding is 66 million for this year, and next year will be 70 million. The CDE is 27 million this year, and then 28 for next year. Infrastructure is 899 million for this year, and then next year will be 1.1 billion. The BCOs, CCB's border post project, dealing with 475 million, and next year is 490 million. The border post infrastructure, the home affair will be 110 million, and next year will be 130 million. To augmentation of PMTE is 646 million, and then next year will be 682 million. Parliamentary British Management Board is 7.7 million, and next year is 8.1 million. The EPWP incentive grant to municipality is 599 million, and then next year is 701 million. The EPWP incentive grant to provinces infrastructure is 292 million, and next year is 351. The EPWP incentive grant to provinces, the social sectors, is 217 million this year and 257 million next year. When we go down to the evolution of property rates to provinces, is 1.9 billion this year and next year is 2 billion. Then when it comes to the intermediary plan for the IDT, this year is 1.6 million and next year is 10.1 million. So what if come to the total of this year, the total of the earmark funding was 5.5 billion. And then next year will be 6.2 billion. If we go down to the next slide 33. These are infrastructure budget. The infrastructure budget in terms of the land appropriations for this financial year of the 2012-13, the total is 1.4 billion, and then next year is 1.7. And the 2014-15 will be 1.2. In terms of departmental one for this year, it consists of 400, last year it's 468, and then this year it's 278 million, and next year it's 246, and the outer year, the 2014-15, will be 220 million. When it comes to the issue of dealing with accessibility, we'll be dealing with this financial year, 28 million, and the year 2 is 30 million, the outer year will be 32. The Domalite and risk management, this year is 130, next year is 160, and the outer year is 180. The late port entrance will be 585 this year, million, and 620 million next year, and the outer year 679. The inner city regeneration for this current year is 140 million. And the next year is 480 million. The outer year was 636 million. In terms of special project we're dealing with, this financial year was 323 million. Next financial year is 280 million, and the outer year is 120 million. So if we come down to the evolution of property rates fund to the provinces, when it comes to this financial year, the Eastern Cape will be 200 million. And the year 2 will be 210, the outer year is 222. The Free State will be 231 million for this year, 244 for next year and the ultimate 258. The housing is 281 this year and the next year the 294 million and ultimate 310 million. KwaZulu-Natal for this financial year is 151 million and next financial is 588 million. The ultimate year is 621 million. The Limpopo is 35 million this year, next year 37 and the ultimate year 39. Mpumalanga will be 76 million for this year, 83 million for next year, the ultimate year 87. Southern Cape, 43 million this year, 46 million next year, and the ultimate year is 49 million. Northwest, 178 million for this year. The next year will be 202 and the ultimate year 213. The Western Cape 319 for this year. The next year will be 348 and then the ultimate year is 364 million. So the total will be for the property rate for this financial year will become 1.9 billion and the next financial will be 2 billion and we come to the ultimate year 2.1 million. Billion, sorry. So then we go to the EPWP incentives to provinces, municipalities. And for this current financial year, EPWP integrated grant to municipalities for this financial year will be 599 million, and for the year two will be 701 million, and for the year three will be 743 million. And when it comes to the integrated grant for provinces infrastructure, this financial year will be 292 million, and the next year will be 361 million, and the outer year will be 383 million. The social sector one, this one will become to this financial year 217 million for this financial year, 257 million for next financial year, and the outer year will be 272 million. So what is total for the incentive to provinces, municipalities? For current financial year, we come to 1.1 billion, and the year two will be 1.3 billion, and after year will be 1.4 billion. And when we come to the slide 30, the EPWP integrated grants to provinces. The Eastern Cape will get in the allocation for 16 million, Free State 21 million, Housing 18 million, KwaZulu-Natal 79 million, Limpopo 48 million, Mpumalanga 26 million, Northern Cape 9 million, and Northwest 10 million, Northern Cape 17 million, and total will come to 292 million. So when it comes to the slide dealing with social sector EPWP integrated incentive grant to provinces, the Eastern Cape will get a allocation for 22 million, Free State 23 million, Housing 41 million, KwaZulu-Natal 1.6 million, Limpopo 57 million, Mpumalanga 13 million, Northern Cape 2 million, Northwest 29 million, Western Cape 24 million, and the total will come to 217 million. So that will be the end of our presentation when we come to the budget.
Okay. Honourable members of the department, I'd like to invite you, and I would suggest that we break for at least 5 minutes and grab something outside and come in quick so that we can start maybe with the job of the day, to give the opportunity to members to ask questions and comments. Right, before that, you know, I want you to comment something before I allow members to start asking questions. Number one, I would suggest that in the future, when we request, when you are about to come to us, please make sure that your documents are in advanced. Because I'm told some of your documents are just arrived this morning. Some of the documents. And I want you to appeal that thing must be corrected. offended they are, which arrives with yesterday. There is a material which arrived yesterday, other material that arrived today, of which it doesn't equip us enough. Because some people, they take us light as if we don't read some of this material. And they're making a mistake to distinguish between us and the National Assembly, thinking that National Assembly is the only house, the house, which must get service. Of which that's totally wrong. Because we complement each other. And so PNNA, don't make a mistake that when we go to policy issues, some of the things won't be approved without us. So therefore, I was a little bit disturbed, you know, because your documents arrived very late. And normally what we used to do, we send you our program in advance, normally. But they respond from your side. I would appeal that also the people from the ministry side, they must assist us to make sure that some of these things which we are requesting, they must reach our hands as soon as possible. And therefore, members, because she is about to be ready, is not yet ready. What I would suggest, let me give you, maybe we take one first round and we'll come to the second round of questions. Mama Temba, followed by Honourable Member Kronemann.
Thank you, Chairman. Let me thank the department for the presentation. Even though this is a second hand to us, because the acting DG, when she started, she said this was presented to the portfolio committee in March. So I would like to say, the second hand. When you presented something to the portfolio committee, when you come to the select committee, because we are representing provinces, it must be a different presentation to that one that we have done, that we have presented to the portfolio committee. I think we are here on the... So that's why I think before the presentation comes to us, all of you in the department must actually, you know, share ideas and know that we are going to the committee, to the public service select committee, because I would love to know what is happening in Mpumalanga and in all other provinces as the National Council of Provinces. But even your remarks were actually very disturbing to say you have presented it to the national, to the portfolio committee. On key medium-term priorities, I think it's on page 11, you have stated the auditing of the list and review of the list management system. If maybe we can have time frames on this, like what are the, maybe let's say, establishing financial controls and addressing the audit challenges. If we can maybe get those challenges, what are the challenges and what measures are you putting in place? And on administration program one, I heard you speaking of the funerals of the late Shikega and the late Honorable Shikega and the late Honorable Padayaji. Maybe if you can there explain to us how do you deal with ordinary members of parliament, because now you have mentioned the ministers. And if you were following this weekend, there were three funerals. There were the one for the late Shikega, the late Padazi, and the late Honorable Nyanda. So maybe you don't have a policy for honorable, I mean for honorable ordinary MPs, if maybe we can have that explanation. And on I think on my on the presentation is page 19. Improved management of movable assets. If maybe you can also explain the official houses, like also in that way, you know, I'm worried, Chairperson, because actually we have in different provinces we've got these properties of public works. That's why I want to say the reports from provinces on these, yes, on these houses, the reports from public works. We have every year since 2009 been, you know, talking about the houses, public works houses, the movable assets in all these provinces. Because when you drive around as members, we do see these properties. We were in Limpopo as the ad hoc committee, and we were told some other houses are being like rented to other people. That report, I don't think it's only in Limpopo, if maybe public work is hands on, maybe we can have reports from all the provinces of what is happening. And then you only mentioned that two Eastern Cape registered what? You only mentioned two in the Eastern Cape. If you can have all what is happening in all other provinces, because I think Chairperson, also the breakdown of these 100 buildings per province. If we can know that this is happening in Mpumalanga, in the Eastern Cape, in Northern Cape, how many buildings are in all these provinces, and when are you starting? When are you starting? Because I would I believe that maybe something has been done and you are carrying on what has been done. We mustn't talk as if we are starting on a clean slate. I believe the department 2009 has been there this first term. We're not talking about the other terms, but if we can know, yes, this is the strategic plan of this, but already I think from 2009 there's something that has been done that you are building on now. 260 municipalities. This is towards the end of your presentation. Which municipalities are you working with in all these provinces? That's why I was saying we don't want the second-hand presentation. We must get, you know, this, what is happening. And also on the job creation, I believe the public work to be the hub of job creation. You trained the youth, I think you've got the women. That information we need so that when I stand up on the budget, support this budget, then also in Eastern Cape there are so many women who have been accredited. There are so many youth, young people, gender-wise. We must be specific so that we know that our department is really working towards empowering both men and women, or let me say women and men. I'll come back when it's time allowed.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I've got a lot of questions and some comments in between as well. The first thing is, you're talking about the turnaround strategy. And that is becoming a regular story now. When we have different departments, all of them are busy with the turnaround strategy. And it seems to me that is the way to come away with a lot of things when we talk about a turnaround strategy. And I really feel we are on a long way down the road at this stage, and there's no turnaround strategy. We must do the thing in the right way, and that is that. There's no other way to say that it's a turnaround strategy. Honorable Chairperson, it's not going with me now at all. So we must do it in the right way. And I'm very worried about all the acting persons in the departments. That is very worrying, because we can't go on if we haven't appointed permanent people in certain positions. And I think that must stop as well at this stage. You're talking about 5 million jobs, job opportunities in the next 5 years. And then down the road, when you do your presentation, you also mention it again, that the 5-year target is 4.5 million work opportunities by 2014. That is in 2 years' time. And I'm telling you, we are not going to reach it. I can't see how are we going to do it, because 4.5 million people is a lot of people. And to employ and have people with skills and everything and train people in 2 years' time, it's less than 2 years now, I can't see it. And you must prove it for us, and I will be the first one to say, sorry, I blame you for nothing. But you must show us. And I think then we must get into this thing, and they must be, the people is crying outside. Our youth haven't got jobs. And we sit with the money. The money are there. And we must just use it. And that is not only with the department, it's in the provinces. If you are looking into the budget, there's millions and millions of rands sending to the provinces. And the provinces are doing nothing with this money. And it's the one corrupt situation to another corrupt situation. And then I'm asking myself, where are your control measures? How are you control all the money you send out and in budgets to the provinces? It seems to me there's no control at all. There's overspending, there's underspending, there's fraud, and the money is just wasted in many, many occasions in the provinces. And at the end of the day, you are the responsible people. You are the department. You must take action into our provinces and see that things happen. And that is it. Everything is very nice on paper. And it looks held. And we are going into a certain direction. But when we are on the ground, and as Honorable Temaf said, we are busy with oversight visits all over South Africa. And we get to the places where the budgets are. And nothing happened there. And if we are looking into human settlement, I'm shocked. I'm shocked. Only in my province, in the Northwest province, and then I do not mention any of the other provinces. It's going bad. That is, how the tenders are allocated to people. Who is staying in the houses? How built houses? Where are your control measures? That is what I'm just asking that. How are we control our money, the taxpayers' money? At the end of the day. And that is why public works got a bad name at this stage, all over South Africa. Because nothing happened. The people ask, where's the jobs? Where are the buildings? Our asset register. Each and every year we're talking about the asset register. And each and every time you mention, but you are going to get it into place now. It never gets into place. Immovable assets. It is easy to do it.
You've got your departments in the different provinces. Force them to give you the asset registers. Who's staying in this? Who's hiring the buildings? That thing is not coming to the surface. I'm very worried. I'm very unhappy to say it, but I think we are not doing our work. Movable assets. Do you know how many movable assets are in each and every province, in each and every municipality? That is the thing. The people is wasting money on that situations. Is there a cut-off date for the asset registers to be in place? I want to know it, because I'm asking it each and every year, and then you tell us, yes, it will be in place. And the next year, you said, no, we are working on it. Slide 22, if you can look into that. That is where I'm getting this. The hiring of buildings to different departments per province. Do you exactly know what is the cost of hiring the buildings that's been hiring by the department in the provinces? What is the cost? If you're looking with all the trouble we've had with the police buildings in Durban and in Johannesburg or Pretoria, millions and millions of rands are spent into that building. Who was sitting there when we allocated these budget and hiring these buildings for the different departments? What are your inputs in that situation? Building of schools. We want to know how many schools per province, per region. Yeah. Thank you. Per region. We want to know it, because when we are busy with oversight, we want to get there and see, but here are two or three schools being built by the public works, and we want to have a look what is the situation in that. Hospitals, clinics. The hospital in Freiburg, a beautiful building. After 1 year, the roof is off. Again, what control was there when the building was involved? Clinics. Prestige projects. You're talking about prestige projects. And we want to know. We saw something is happening across the street, and then it stopped. That is the new parliament is supposed to be started building there. When? When are the starting date? When are the cut-off date, the finishing date of these things? And what is the cost at this stage? We want to know it, because that is taxpayers' money, and we also want to see and tell the people, because we get the questions from the public. What are going on? They read in the papers, a new parliament is going to be built. When? Where? What? So we want to know exactly, because we are in an oversight position. The 260 municipalities, you name it, there's projects. We want to know, in that 260 municipalities, what are the projects, where are they, and how many money is involved in each and every project. Then we can do oversight. Otherwise, it is of no use, and we can't support you. We are there to support public works and tell the people, but listen, these people are on the right track. This department is seeing that there's job creation and everything. But if we haven't got that information, we can't support you and we can't help you. Rural roads, that is some light in the tunnel for me if you are going into rural areas. Because rural areas is the disadvantaged areas in our country. And we must see that these people be uplifted so that they can have a better life at the end of the day. So we want to know the number of the road, where is the road in the province, and how many roads per province. You must give us the information. 5-year target. Okay, I already handled it. And then the control. In slide 32, the control of money. As I said, I feel there's no control. And how are the money being spent by provinces? And that is your task and your duty. Otherwise, we are going to get it from the public. The Dolomite rich management, and that is on slide 33. What is that? What is it? I know what is dolomite, but why are there so many money be available for these type of things? And where is it? In which provinces are it? And the place where I'm coming from, it is the Carltonville area. There's a lot of dolomite in that area. I know in Pretoria there's a lot of dolomite. The Kutsong project is one of the biggest human shifting projects in South Africa, with new houses. We want to know why this money for. Then also the devaluation of properties, slide 54. What is your control? How many money from into the provinces get this money? You've said it, yes. The provinces get this money. But are they using this money for the right purposes? Sometimes I got a feeling if they need some money somewhere, that is the way, this is the place they take the money from. Because they have the money. And my last thing is, Honorable Chairperson, is underspending and overspending. How are you controlled? A lot of these things, the money is available for these types of projects, and the municipalities and the provinces are not spending this money in the right way. And that worried me, because that is where the corruption and things is taking place with tenders and all that kind of thing. They give tenders to people and the tenders never ever coming out. And there's hundreds of these examples in all of the provinces. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Then I'll add more, maybe one or two or many. Mama Temba, thank you very much. You have covered me with some of the things because, you know, really, sometimes I don't know how people they feel about NCOP in terms of approaching it, but you were correct. I won't repeat that one. Number one, what I will suggest that in future, for the members, during the discussions, the issue of acronyms, please minimize it. Because you know, for an example, you work full-time, whatever. But sometimes a disturbing like us, we get a lot of acronyms which are similar to each other. Then I'll come to the questions. As I indicated that I'll have one, two, or many. I'll start with, let's go to the slide. Let's go to page 5. Okay, I'll leave that one of infrastructure because you said something about it. And I'll start with this one. You see, there is a thing which is worrying me, which we're supposed to correct. In terms of the PMTE, Property Management Trading Entity, there was a white paper in 1996. And what is worrying is that how far are you with that paper? Because some of the problems which are there, which are prevailing in the public works, these are in line with these things. Because you never started to implement what was recommended by that paper of the white paper of 1996. The implementation of that paper. And thank you. Also, on slide 10, on page 10, slide 20, you spoke about the inner city in immovable assets management. May you please take us on board, because you indicated that there was a cabinet decision that people mustn't go outside, whatever. And then what I would suggest is that may you please inform us that how many what is it, how many departments, in particular those who didn't heed the call, who took that decision and go out, and what steps have been taken in that regard. And then you go to page 11 on slide 22. There's something very interesting in that one. As your key priorities, you said is to ensure a complete and accurate immovable asset register on the asset by 31st March 2014. Is that correct? Yes. I think, Honorable, that's the thing which you were raising about, that they must request, because the information is there in the provinces. You know, with this one, I think it's long overdue. Our government is how many years in power now? But the department is failing to give us a proper audit on what they've got. They don't know about the assets. I won't argue so much less, but if you can highlight to us, as you indicated, by 2014, that approximately when, by when are you going to maybe take us on board to indicate a rough sketch or a rough skeleton of the properties do you have in terms of immovable assets? Because Honorable Hunever reminded me something about the issue of roads. Our experience in Free State, there were roads which we were told that they belong to Public Works. But Public Works, it might be they don't know. When we call them from the province, by then, there was a contradiction. People are not aware. Some they are aware, some they don't know about their own properties. And then also, it reminds me about the issue of buildings. Somewhere there was a contradiction with buildings, which who is responsible for the buildings inside the country and outside the country. Whereby some people, they felt that some buildings they belong to, by then, to foreign affairs, which is international affairs now. If you can take us on board that, in that regard, and clarify us. And also, let me go to the opinion of the Auditor General. Help us, because we might blind, but we can see that there are still challenges, because it won't help us to change the leadership of, you know, ministries. You bring another one, you bring why challenges are still remaining in the department itself. As my colleague have indicated, that people are acting, until when? The major problems noted by the Auditor General include unauthorized irregular expenditure to the tune of 16.5 million, a lack of audit evidence regarding to the department's immovable asset register, lack. The department's involvement in the public-private partnership for the leasing of vehicles that could not be verified or accounted for. Material underspending of the budget, conditional grants. Material losses of some 54.8 million rands. An inability to obtain evidence of some 1.3 billion worth of capital transaction reported in the department's books. An inability to obtain evidence of some 819 million rands worth of goods and services related to transactions reported in the department books as well. The department's failure to disclose the liability relating to the claims against it to the sum of the sum tune of 5.9 million. But just citing examples, some of the things which were raised in the HG's report. I wanted to put it there at this moment. Maybe I'll come in the second round. But before going to second round, is it ready? It's ready. Can we break for 5 minutes, but you can grab and come inside and then we continue.
Because it was part of the manner league. Thank you.
Are you ready to start? We can start. Other people will meet us somewhere.
Yeah, thank you, Chaperson. Let me start with the first set of questions. But before that, Chaperson, I would like to apologize to you and honorable members for the documents that have sent before you late. I would like to convey my sincere apologies around that. And promise the meeting that will never happen again. So I hope my apologies are accepted. The first question was around the issue of this review. This will be undertaken within 12 months. The Minister of Finance is here to call on one of the members, and our minister made a public declaration in February. We're working with Treasury because we need to ensure that as public works, because we spend a lot of money on leases, it is important that we ensure that there are processes and systems in place to run a lease management business. This is what we're doing with Treasury. We're trying to put the fundamentals in place, ensure that basic things like the lease contract for every lease, our buildings are occupied, and if they are not fully occupied, we pay for the occupied space. So those are the fundamental basic things that we will also be looking at. But we are working with National Treasury on the lease review and auditing process. Chaperson, on the matter of the funerals, I just used the latest, the two funerals, just an example of what really falls under Program 5. The decision to accord an official funeral is a decision of the president. For let's say for members of parliament, but for cabinet members, when they pass on, we are obliged as public works to do an official funeral. We didn't do an official funeral for honourable member Nyanda, which is not there. But for honourable member, for the late Mr. Shikota, it was the determination of the president for us to actually have an official funeral for him. On the issue of immovable asset register, we are busy. An asset register, Chaperson, is a living, how do I say, is a robust and a living project. Yes, it's a robust and living document. It needs to be updated. That does not mean that we don't have any movable asset register. We do, but we have picked up that there's a lot of mistakes in terms of capturing of information in the asset register that needs to be corrected. That's why we are prioritizing this, because our business is also mainly property management. So if we do not correct the incorrect fields in the asset register, we are not being fair to the country. Because, for example, Chaperson, Parliament a few years ago maybe did not have certain additional buildings. Now, when you have an asset register, if you extend the part of Parliament, you've got to go back to the register and register that you have expanded the building of Parliament. If I was just to make one example. And also we picked up mistakes like probably, if I was to make an example, not necessarily an accurate example,
if maybe the house that we are occupying, we have to ensure that that house is exactly where the asset register is. So that also entails verification that that asset is exactly where it is. And in instances like those, that requires physical verification that where we are in doubt. If that asset, if it's in Limpopo, at times we need to verify that that asset is in a particular ward, particular street in Limpopo. But we are working now with Ernst & Young to actually accelerate the correction of information that is misplaced in the register, and within a year, Chairperson, we would be able to say that at least now we know that these are the removable assets that we have, let's say 44,000, and we know where they are and the state they are in, so that we continue building on that legacy. The timeline of 2014 is a multi-year timeline. But if honorable members would agree, we would like to probably come back and do a presentation specifically on this, because it's a massive project on its own. We've already achieved certain objectives. The project started in October 2011. And we would be willing to come so that we pay attention to this immovable asset register. But its enhancement, Chairperson, it does not necessarily mean therefore that we do not have an asset register, just that we have picked up that there's a lot of information that still needs to be corrected. The regional office is already honorable member. There's two in the Eastern Cape. And I guess it's because of the rural, when I say ruralness of the Eastern Cape, we have one regional office in Port Elizabeth and we have one regional office in Mintat. The rest of the offices are in the other provinces, so there's one difference. The 260 municipalities.
Chairperson, that's what we wanted to understand. Why only you mention it on the Eastern Cape? There are in other provinces. You must tell us that in other, not only Eastern Cape, whether the rural or what, but if we can get the information that these offices are there in other provinces, don't just single us.
No, I was just
illustrating
because we have nine provinces. So I was just illustrating why we have 11 regional offices. So I was just trying to say, to explain why we have nine provinces but 11 regional offices. So it was just an explanation that two of them are in the Eastern Cape. But in each province we have public works regional offices. The issue of job creation and the 260 municipalities, I want to remember, the CDG and PWP will speak to that. On the issue of the turnaround strategy, honorable member, I agree with you what you have said, that some of these terms will become really bad words. But I also think that it is important that we pay attention to those particular issues that we should have. That needs, that we should have corrected. For example, the issue of the removable asset register. So when we talk about turnaround strategies, we have identified projects that we know they need prioritization, and one of them is the removable asset register. So we're not necessarily talking about some document that is talking to some long-term future. We have identified projects because the department must continue to function, and we need to focus on those issues that make the department not perform optimally. So the issue of the immovable asset register is one project that we have singled out as needing more resources
and more attention. The second one, Honorable Chair, is the cleaning the audit outcomes. As you know that in 2010-2011 we had an audit disclaimer, and it is important therefore to say we need to commit resources to ensure that we do not have another disclaimer. So that is another project under the turnaround. The third one, Chairperson, you may have read newspaper headlines on the issue of leases. We're trying to build internal capability in the department to manage our leases better. As the minister normally says that if you go and lease a building in the private sector, the particular owner of that building, you will be negotiating with high-level people, property lawyers, and all of that. In many instances in government, you find that normally junior officials will negotiate very expensive leases. So we're trying to correct that because to date, for example, we have spent $3 billion in leases. So leases in public works, they are, if you like, they are a company within public works on their own. But because we have to lease accommodation for our clients, we have recognized the weaknesses in terms of managing that portfolio, and we are trying to correct that. So the turnaround strategy speaks to those issues that we have identified that they need. The other thing, if I may, to just make a final example, Honorable Member, Public Works is a highly technical department. Over the past few years, we've been losing the technical skills, like the engineers, the architects, quality surveyors, construction managers. We're looking at that. We've got to build internal capability for public works to be able to operate normally going forward. We are leaking in that area. We have recognized that, and now we're trying to build internal capability that will over time allow us to reduce reliance on major companies to deliver projects for public works. Honorable Member, I agree with you, the acting environment is not conducive for service delivery. But the Minister, Honorable Member, has spoken about this matter many a time. He is working on ensuring that the stabilization of leadership in the department. You will recall that, for example, the DG of Public Works was suspended by the former minister. So the current minister is working hard to make sure that this DG position is permanently filled. So he's been engaging with the Minister of Public Service and Administration on that, and will continue to do so to make sure that at least the DG position is filled. Because when we have a DG position that is vacant, then we have that domino effect. Because somebody leaves, he's a head of police in that office, and then somebody must act in someone, so that is the domino impact that we are having in the department. The position of the financial financial manager will be advertising this coming weekend. So, Honorable Member, we're paying attention to the issue of active positions in the department. I think in terms of the work opportunities around the EPWP, probably there was a little bit of misunderstanding. It's 4.5 million work opportunities over a 5-year period. We're kind of mid now, that 5-year period. We'll give you the actual figures of where we are now in terms of that 4.5 million. But I also said that, judging by the performance over the past few years and to date, we may exceed the 4.5 million work opportunity under the funded public works project. I share also your sentiment, Honorable Member, on the issue of transfers and grants. the EPWP, although he would speak about it, you say, Mr. Henderson, the transfers and grants, there is understanding in some areas, especially the incentive grants. And most of it is really attributed to the public bodies, not claiming that allocation from the department. The Department of Public Works has tried to support municipalities and is also working with the International Labour Organization to provide technical support to municipalities. But I guess, honorable member, that is work in progress. Because as a department, we've been trying over the past few years, and we continue trying our best to ensure that municipalities are able to implement labor-intensive projects. I've spoken about the removable assets and the asset register, the timeline, but the timelines are there, and we'd like to come back and probably present that specifically to the NCOP. The issue of movable assets, honorable member, in each municipality. Public Works, at least Public Works at national government level, does not, or rather is not responsible for movable assets in municipalities because of the constitutional makeup of the country. And also, Public Works at national government level, we are not responsible for the building of hospitals and clinics. But what I know for sure will come through this year, honorable member. There is a decision that we need to form a joint committee with the National Department of Health to refurbish hospitals and clinics. And that undertaking, honorable member, will benefit mainly the EPWP, and we see it as also a job creation opportunity. There is an agreement between the two ministers that a joint team be set up, just like the joint team with the Department of Basic Education to build a math school, or to refurbish the math schools and inappropriate structure in the province. I'm not so sure if I got your question on the prestige project that you alluded to. But maybe while I'm mulling over that, we can answer the other question, my colleague.
Thank you, honorable member. The question around Parliament. The matter is still under discussion by Cabinet. We are due to make a submission to a Cabinet memorandum through a minister to Cabinet to consider those options. As the members will be aware, the question of the location of Parliament is still out, and we are still presenting options to Cabinet. There was a presentation that was made to Cabinet towards the end of last year in November, and Cabinet raised a number of issues that probably need to go back and work on those. And we are going back very soon, I think the next couple of weeks, to present how far we've come in terms of those issues that we will ask our Cabinet. So we will not be at liberty to divulge those details for Cabinet to make a determination of that option analysis. Thanks.
Honorable member, the issue of rural roads. That program is a program of the Department of Transport. Not to Public Works national program. What we are only benefiting from that program in terms of work opportunities for the EPWP. But we have assisted municipalities. We have intervened to assist the municipalities to develop business plans so that municipalities are able to meet their targets there. So we've been doing that for the past few years and we continue. Then can you elaborate on the EPWP question, the 260 municipalities?
Thank you, Chair. Honourable members, to reflect on the questions raised with regard to the expanded public works program. With regard to youth, women and people with disabilities, currently we have on our system that 48% youth, 61% women, and 0.2% people with disabilities. I would like also to put to the meeting that every quarter we generate a fairly detailed report, and this speaks to the question of monitoring and evaluation, and this is on the department's website. It is the apologies, Chair. Let me start again. I started with the question raised about whether we know how many youth, women, and people with disabilities are currently on the expanded public works system. And I just quoted the figures that currently we have on our data report that 48% of the work opportunities, that's the total of 686,900 for this financial year, 48% of them consist of people under the age of 35, 61% women, and 0.2% people with disabilities. And then I'd like to draw members' attention to a detailed report that is generated every quarter. We call it the EPRP quarterly report. It is on the department's website. But the value of this is, Honourable Chair and members, is that it gives you a detailed breakdown of the overall figures for the expanded public works program. And then we go into a detailed disaggregation in terms of provincial data as well as municipal data. So it is literally possible to go right into your province, Honourable Thema, to get detailed information with regard to that on a quarterly basis. And this is the detailed report. The reason why I mentioned this is also the question was raised whether what control and monitoring we do have. Now, this particular report, it's for the expanded public works program, speaks also to the incentives, because the incentive model that's currently or was under implementation up to the end of March for the previous financial year, that is, that was a performance-based incentive, which means we had to look at the data that was reported to us, and based on that we generate a report to National Treasury that will then instruct the Provincial Treasury to say, yes, Department X in the province qualified for this amount of money and their performance was Y, and therefore they qualify for Z amount of money. So we have that detailed information for the expanded public works program, and we would like to draw your attention to this, and we will, your researchers may want to have a look at this report. I think it is very well known. Then, just with regard to the current performance of the expanded public works program, based on this data, we can say that for the current financial year, the target was to create 868,000 work opportunities, and the currently we stand at 686,900 work opportunities, and we have to apologize that due to the request for extensions for the final data for the past financial year up to April, that we cannot present to you the data, final data for the year, but which means we currently stand at 80% based on these figures, and we are fairly confident that once we have consolidated the data, because we have to crunch the numbers through often something like 17,000 projects across the country, and therefore we take particular care. We don't want to release data that we cannot stand by. because we generate two reports. We generate what we call a compliance report and then a non-compliance report. The compliance report says the data for particular projects have actually the data have been properly validated, and a non-compliance report that says we don't exist, the, don't question rather the existence of a project, but we're saying the data that we have received, we can't use it because it's simply of too poor quality. And so we generate both reports, and we send that back to the reporting bodies to say, sorry, we cannot use that data because it's simply like not fit for use, so to speak. Furthermore, we have detailed reports for municipalities also, and just to give, seeing that the Honourable Temba has referred to Mpumalanga, and I will give for the Northwest certainly also the figures. We know, for instance, that currently 21 municipalities rather in Mpumalanga, they are currently reporting on the expanded public works program, and we have the detailed figures here. And for the record, just go to the North of Free State, Northwest. Currently, 19 out of the 23 municipalities in the Northwest, they are reporting on the expanded public goods program. So the reason why I mention this is just to give members, honorable members, the assurance that we have a proper handle on what is reported on the expanded public goods program, right across national departments, provincial departments, as well as municipalities, and we would be more than happy to give you the detailed data tables that we have prepared, but that was not actually not included on the in the consolidated presentation made by the DG. I think the last point I would like to make, Honourable Chair and members, is that for the rural roads program falling under the Department of Transport, that is very important for us, and we will be able to either at our next meeting or if you wish we can actually forward the data to you with regard to the details in terms of the roads, the provincial roads program, both budgets and location.
Thanks, honorable members. I want to raise two questions, the question on Dolomite and also the item on the schools program. Dolomite risk management, it basically, for all intents and purposes, relates to what you would experience or what you usually see as the sinking of sinkholes, where the ground gives in underneath and then you see a sinkhole. This is basically a process whereby we have to identify and mitigate potential sinkholes by identifying dolomite areas. This is to serve two particular primary purposes. One, that is a safeguarding of state facilities. Two, to ensure in terms of developments that are happening, either for housing or any other public sector development, those developments happen in safe areas for the purposes of public safety. So in terms of the question of where, the prevalence is not limited to the province I'm going to mention, but that is where primarily we're currently finding them. It's in the northwest and the Gauteng province, but it's not limited there. It's a process of where we have to actively go out there and try to identify where the limited sites are. And part of that is also informed by when we go through a process of site clearance exercise. When somebody has identified a particular need, you need to develop, and we have to go through specific procedures to ensure that that development is not happening in development areas. But we're also accepting a position where some of the process of development have already happened in the past in areas that are dolomitic. I think you made reference to the issue of Kusong, where it has been discovered after the fact that actually it's sitting on a dolomitic area, where we have to offer advisory services to the relevant authorities of jurisdiction in that area to say, this place is unsafe for public use, therefore we need to start a process of moving people out where the dolomitic area is not rehabilitated. For some of them can be rehabilitated, some cannot be rehabilitated. I hope I've clarified that particular aspect.
with regards to the issue of education in terms of bullying programs, we have been briefed by the minister upon the PICC, which is the Presidential, Presidential Intercultural Coordination Committee, which has established a number of what they call SIPs, the Strategic Initiative Projects or Integrated Projects, where there's an identification of specific areas for intervention by the state in terms of infrastructure development and also infrastructure corridors that needs to be developed for economic development. But one of the areas that we've been briefed about is the eradication of inappropriate structures for schools. That's the one aspect when it relates to the school building program. The second aspect is to ensure that all schools in South Africa have all the requisite facilities for them to be able to conduct the function of education and enable our kids in schools to get the full benefit of the curriculum. So there's a backlog that education has done a status quo on, and they've developed a draft document that speaks to how they view the problem of inappropriate and inadequate school facilities, how it can be addressed. They've at least documented that. They've engaged the Department of Public Works to say, how can we assist them in terms of a technical solution level to fast track, firstly, and secondly, also to do it at a much more cost-effective manner to deal with their education of my schools. One of the issues that has been placed on the table is the item of saying, if you look in terms of the conventional method that is currently being employed to deal with the backlog of schools, the timeline series we're facing is just not acceptable. It is too long. So we're looking at methodologies that we can implement to deliver the schools quicker. We have met with education, in fact, as of yesterday, where we went and presented our proposal in terms of technical solution, who we propose should be the implementing agent. And in that regard, I can report who we're proposing is to be the Independent Development Trust, because they have a track record in that particular space. They've already implemented alternative materials and also delivery models in terms of delivery of schools. So we can already start to look at the technical level, the performance variables. If you look at utility, you're looking at three items. You're looking at time, cost, and quality. You can already see from what IDT has deployed, you can get a saving of up to 30% in terms of the time. In terms of the cost, we're already from what they've already deployed in terms of the 10 schools that already done in the Eastern Cape, there's a cost saving of close to 30 to 40%. When we're looking at the quality performance in terms of the materials that have been used on the schools in terms of alternative technology, they're performing better in terms of the performance standards of materials in certain areas. There are about 5 performance standards we use for any material or any particular form of infrastructure that deal with aspects of acoustic, thematic, thermal performance in terms of what happens in winter and summer, is that temperature appropriate, etc., etc. Some of these alternative technologies and materials are proving that they're performing better than the conventional brick and mortar. So that is where we are. We've agreed with education, they're going to give us base data that relates to some of the backlogs in particular districts, so we can see what can be done to fast track that, and we're going to take that proposal to education. So that is just to give details on some of the technical teams which we are actually working around, in particular in the education space. Thanks, teacher.
Okay, to address those aging findings, I think there's one issue about the limitation of scopes. Department do have some of the documents in file. Unfortunately, because when it comes to the SIU investigation, special investigation units, when they took over our file, they took a body truckloads of file. When the agent had to audit our book, they did not satisfy the photocopy we made copy for ourselves. So that's the reason why we say that somehow when it comes to AG audit, they give us quite a body of our earth field and are able to substantiate our document. It's because the dilemma we find ourselves in. We did request to the SI unit to make us to update those documents. But you know, they were saying that those documents is really for, they need to keep original copy so that they will be able to see the criminal prosecution, then to use an additional document.
at the same time, AG is not satisfied with the photocopy we give it. So basically, that's where the technicality comes in. So we are in the process is to go back to FIU and ask them to say whether there is a alternative arrangement we can make to see whether we can audit the AG, audit those documents in their environment. And that's something we're trying to strive for. So basically, is that those documents, it causes a lot of negative consequences to our audit. Because whether it can be, because the litigation is ranging for all variety of procurement, whether it's a typical environment or goods and services. So when it comes to the HU finding, when they say they are not unable to substantiate our information, it's because the majority of those documents at FIU's possession. So those are the issues we're dealing with. At the same time, at this point in time, we try to address our audit funding. We know some of our shortcomings is really fundamental one. We may not be able to address in current financial. It needs to be a systematic approach. But at this point in time, what we try to do with our any financial statement preparation is go through some of those issues, which is we can demonstrate where we put in the effort. For example, like immovable assets. We may not be able to complete the whole system this year, but we will put something like explanatory notes to the AG that at least they can go and audit the thing which we have done through the firm of Ernst & Young, and to demonstrate that what we've tried to accomplish, and also give an action plan to say, although we've done certain practices for this financial year, but at least for such and such year, we need to complete the whole exercise. So those are the things we try to address at the time we get to this financial year. Thank you.
On the devolution of budget, there is a framework that is being signed between the department and the provinces. During the financial year, again in compliance to the Division of Revenue Act, the provinces are reporting to the department in terms of the performance. So there is a monitoring in terms of what the money is utilized for and how much. So on quarterly basis and on monthly basis, there are reports which have been generated from the provinces to the national department and moving from the department to national treasury. So there are controls in place.
Are you done? Sure.
Okay.
You see, something very, to me, it's very interesting because I've raised some few issues in terms of the comments. The only thing which you try to do, you said, maybe you're trying to summarize that there are two controls because I've raised some issues. Of which, I thought that you elaborate further than this. I also raise an issue of white paper of 1996 of the property management trading entity, of which you never touch on it. You see, to me, it's raised an eyebrow. And you made us to raise some of the things during our debate issue to elect the minister. Then you remind me something in terms of the PFMA on section 39. You see, there is a thing which is worrying me when I refer to that one. I'm not reading you a riot act, but I just refer you that be careful when you come to an NCOP. We follow each and every step which is taking place. I'm raising that section because of the following. I thought that you, as the Department of Public Works, you are going to state why you didn't implement some of the recommendations, excuse me, by SCOPA and also by the committee. Because in terms of our line function, once the thing is ATC, it's supposed to make a follow-up. You are the ones who are supposed to make a follow-up on some of the recommendations. And again, with this one, I'm happy you responded to all the things, but I thought that you just little to brush over to ask to indicate about the findings of the Auditor General on the things which you never did, never done. Because to me, it's worrying that such a huge monies just disappeared, which are not accounted for. And then also, it's worrying me that how are you going to implement your own, you spoke about the turnaround strategy. That's why I even indicated to you that sometimes, you know, it's like this, the team, you got your team, you change the coach while there are elements within the team itself. That's where is the problem. That's where is the problem. Because we can change and chop and change, chop and change while there are people remaining there. Okay, nevertheless, I don't say that you must start to discuss it now, but I thought that you'll elaborate more on that rather than to say there's something which is doing 1, 2, 3. Because as I indicated earlier on, that here we're working as a team. You must empower us in order to be able in return to empower you. Because we are very much concerned most of the time, which was raised by the members about the issue of what do we call it, the issue of the risk management, that you are appealing time and again that you must have your own risk management, own, you know, in terms of proper monitoring. That form part of the internal control. If you talk about the risk management. And we don't agree of time and again of the issue of rollovers. Don't agree. Because it's not easy to go in debate like now we're going to debate for something else. And we're going to argue. And the main key fundamental challenge sometimes is the issue of rollovers that we manage that to convince other people. We agree as parliament within opposition, whatever, that we agree on this budget. But at the end, it is an embarrassing that we find that we are having huge rollovers. But nevertheless, some of the comments which have raised, like the issue of the opinion of the Auditor General, which is a disclaimer, I propose that you must get rid of it. We propose that you must try and do that. And to the committee, I think another thing which we are making with officials a mistake is that time and again in terms of our oversight work, we must make sure that one time we visit again public works. Because the law allows us to have two-prong visit. Can be announced one or unannounced one. But when it's unannounced one, you must know that you fell in the perimeters of the Riot Act. Of which I suggest that that was the presentation from the public works. Other issues. Let's go back to our towing points. As I indicated, that I thought that they will hint on what they are doing. What are they doing in terms of minimizing some of these things? And you must make sure that the books are available this term. Because if you had a DG, you are going to be strict on DG. DG, you must take your broom and sweep. Because sometimes people are misinforming or misleading our leadership. They don't give them proper things at the end. They bounce back. In terms of this thing to minimize, I want to look back on what you have said and this what I have said, but in short, members, let us not adjourn the meeting, but allow the department to give, I don't know whether you want the last round, ma'am. Yes. Can I give you that last comment? It must be short. because we
are running short. Very short, Chair. I want to say to the acting DG, why I raised the issue of this, because you cited examples. This document is not only for this thing. And then if other people are going to, then this is being recorded. If people are going to get to listen to the examples of the funerals for who and whoever, and then they're going to ask that question. I'll ask that question as a grassroots person. So I'm saying maybe in future, you know, because as a member, as members, you understand that the president is the one who says this is going to be an official funeral. But the question, when you raise this, I deliberately raised because a person on there can ask that question. So nobody will be there to respond to that. And Chair, the other one is on the bills that you raised, that they will come to Parliament on the 31st of March. So maybe they repeat to us 31st of March. Or this current financial year. Oh, by the way, Chair, this document is for the portfolio committee. So the information here was presented in the last in March. So I took it. You see, that's why we say what comes to the NCOP, to the select committees, must be to the select committee. Even Chair, I sent you this document this year, this one that is for. We'll see on, I think, the last presentation by Mrs. I'm sorry, I didn't know. It says it says it will be submitted to the portfolio committee.
The report
on performance of EPWP will be submitted to the portfolio committee. You know, we like our provinces so much, and then we are, because we represent them, we also need that information. So when you put things like this and you bring them to us, always we will raise that we must be visible to all the departments, and the departments must know that we've got two houses of parliament. We've got the National Assembly, we've got the National Council of Provinces, and we've got portfolio committees and select committees. So please assist us.
No, ma, in short, you were saying you must stop rubber stamping if you are bringing something to us. Because in terms of the PFNA, you are accounting officers, you also account to us as well. I'll put it like that. I don't want to go back to it. Yes, good colleagues, you want to raise something? Okay, you can.
Chairperson, is there two questions that have been answered? We noted that you want to respond to them on the PMT. Yes, and but just before he says something, I just wanted to just clarify something. This was not. We were told that to come and present the department in this committee. So everything that we presented, we were guided from the director from the committee. We are here to present the plan. I think the issue of the portfolio committee is just the planning cycle of government. We have to present it in March, but we still the same document that we are presenting to you, that we are asked to present in terms of the letter that we received. I just thought that maybe let me clarify that. But, yeah.
You see, don't touch the bees because they will respond.
Yeah.
We are so sensitive about what we are doing. That's why I'll touch once more what Mama touched. You see, we ought to be very careful because here there are people from the media. We don't undermine PMG. We take it very serious. Because sometimes PMG is also sometimes linked to the media. That's why these systems are recorded on what we use here. When it comes outside, you will be not there to respond, like the example which you made, ma. Correct, perfect. In Parliament, we ourselves were the case. We are in the same level. The only difference is the deployment, where you are deployed. No matter, we respect you, all what is from the cabinet, as well, what is from the president of the country, because themselves, they are able to explain them, to explain some of the issues to us, rather than other people raise it in another way, in another platform. Let's keep it there. You wanted to say something, sir?
Thanks, Chair. There are two questions that we are meant to respond to. In terms of the inner city regeneration, just to bring the comment on board, when Cabinet approved the program, it was known as Rehab Itatswane, acronym RKTG, which basically said that Pretoria needs to be rebuilt so that it looks like a capital city, like all other capital cities, and must be characterized so that it looks like an African capital city also. So there's a program underway that is being implemented in response to that in terms of what Cabinet directed. Then the question also went on further to say how many state departments have stepped outside of that cabinet decision. To date, insofar in terms of permanent accommodation, in terms of the permanent home, no department has stepped outside in terms out of the CBD without permission. The one that has been allowed by cabinet with permission to relocate outside the CBD permanently is the Department of Science and Technology. The reason for that was that it abided with the principles that were being advanced in the precinct design for the inner city of Pretoria, in that it's located within the innovation hub that houses the CSIR, and that is where most of this business actually occurs. And the CSIR is outside the CBD of Pretoria. But there are state departments that are residing in terms of temporary accommodation, not the final solution in terms of their permanent accommodation outside of the CBD. You would find them in Centurion, you would find some in Hatfield, etc., in and around Pretoria CBD. With the question around the PMTE, the White Paper Resolutions of 1996, I think the department wants to acknowledge that it had deferred on this particular issue in terms of this implementation. It's not to say the department has not been implementing those recommendations that came out of it. It has been slow. Part of it being slow was the constitutional question that it raised, in that if you create an agency within the Department of Public Works to property manage as a trading entity the facilities of state, what do we do? What are we effectively saying about the mandate given in the Constitution that the Department of Public Works is the custodian of the assets of the country? Will you not be privatizing that particular mandate in terms of how you're actually managing it? That the PMTE has been created at a fictional level. I want to emphasize that at a fictional level, because it has not met all the requirements set by the Accountant General in terms of what you need to do when you're creating a trading entity and trading account. And we have defaulted, and I want to be honest on this, in terms of the targets we were given, when we were given permission to establish the PMT in terms of meeting those targets. It is part of the items that we're also attending to, which I think the DG also omitted to mention, that we've gotten support from one of our entities, the IDT, to come and look into the financial issues in terms of how do we deal with those, with the financial management issues. And part of them is to deal with the PMTE. How does it meet the requirements it needs to meet that were given by National Treasury? Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Let's close it. Let's
close it this way. You see, you touch another thing of the entities given to IDT, what. We didn't want it. We never touched that one, because when was it? A few days ago, there was a presentation from IDT. There were a lot of questions which were suspended. That's why I said to touch bees, because we follow some of these things. And when you talk, because they told us something to an extent. Just now, as I'm sharing the meeting, I received an SMS from them. They are requesting somewhere that we must maybe choose to arrange to meet with them, to arrange so that they can clarify some of these issues which were outstanding from them. And lastly, you know, as I was indicating, you see, we are very happy, we welcome also the approach of the minister, the step he taken to try to solve some of the problems. I'll put an example, the mismanagement in the public works department. Some of the things which we highlighted in the public protector in her report, but we know that the minister takes two some steps, but it doesn't end there. The people who are leading as team leaders, make sure that you do your work properly. We're just appealing lightly, because the buck starts somewhere. And I believe that it's not the public works, it's not the public protector who's supposed to run the show. It's the department itself. So I'll put it there. Honourable member, what I suggest is that we allow them to be excused so that we remain for 1 or 2 minutes to continue with our program of the day so that we can close our meeting. Thank you very much. Siamo. Now you are excused from the department. Yes. We are still waiting for EPWP. No, it's finished. Secretary, we didn't receive an attendance register, that is number one. We don't know what happened. Where is the, Martin, where is the attendance register?
Sir, to all the documents, sir, I think you took the register, but I only have the documents with me. That is what...
Yeah. All right, last thing.
I'm a minister. I wanted to comment.